deals. And that ball is lined back into center field, a base hit. Torres around third scores easily. Green makes it to third. RBI single for Matt Vierling to put Detroit back on top, 2-1.
You're an idiot and you don't know baseball.
Ranger fans, you're not dreaming.
How can you not be romantic about baseball?
How can you not be romantic about the best offense in Major League Baseball?
Oh.
Diamond Cavs here at 105 through the Fan. More on that in a second. Bummer last night. You lose. You only score the one run.
Didn't have Eovaldi.
Very feeble ninth inning, but the bummer is that he did not have Nathan Eovaldi. And we were not robbed of a great pitching matchup because we got one. Just happened to be with lats and a bullpen as opposed to Nasty Nate. Back tightness, so they don't think, I guess, as of this morning that he's headed to the IL. They're going to see what they don't have to make a decision today. But they could retroactively send him to the IL to Sunday.
7.5 back now, 50-50 on the season.
Oh, baby.
Next six are at home. You get the Athletics, and then you get the Braves. Brian Snitker, by the way, the leader in Vegas to be fired next if a manager is to go.
Man, that's there's been a lot of smoke around him this year. People saying he's not paying attention to the game. Missing things you should be arguing about. There's a pitcher they have, AJ Smith-Shawver, who's from Colleyville. He played in the Bobby Jr. team. I think he may have been a year later. But he had Tommy John this year, and there were people talking about that Spencer Strider had to go let the manager and the pitching coach know, hey, he's hurt. Go get him.
Wow.
And then they let him throw like two more pitches, but there's video of Strider being in the dugout, like, guys, pay attention. Like, he's like flexing his forearm or whatever. So, you know, whether or not that's all true, that was the speculation around. So, and they have underachieved.
Now, forget about 7.5 back. How enticing and attainable is 3.5 back wild card?
Extremely attainable.
It's New York.
You've got 60 games left.
Yankees, Seattle, Boston, Tampa, us, a half game up on the Angels.
Yeah, you got 60 games left. You could get that in a week.
It's attainable, but is it worth it? Like, if it's attainable, it's like the Mavericks, they were attainable for the spot they got in the playoffs. Was that going to be worth it? I mean, obviously it didn't matter. They got the number one pick, but that's the biggest thing. Is it going to be worth whatever you might potentially lose by going and being sellers to build chips?
You've won two straight series against the Astros and the Tigers, and you guys, you two, I'm not there. I'm not believing it, but Bobby Belt, RJ Choppy, and John Morosi are all saying that the Rangers offense, if not fixed, is not as big of a worry.
Well, how many game sample do you need to say that it's fixed?
25.
Okay, well, I'll give you 35.
Oh, all right.
Now are you giving me 25 plus 10 that aren't great in the most recent 10, though?
I'm giving you the last 35 games.
I want to know on the fan text.
Going into yesterday.
Ranger Tolo, do you believe the offense is good enough now? Has it improved that much after what Choppy is about to tell you?
So, in the last 35 games, going into last night. So, this stat was done before last night's game.
Yeah.
So, that's June 7th. 35 games. The Rangers are averaging 5.34 runs per game. There are 29 teams that are behind them. That is number one in the sport.
Wow.
Since June 7th. And don't fact check me on that one, Bobby. That is a Sandler stat. Fact check him. But I was doing the math myself. My math was off. I had 5.6 runs per game, but I had thrown another game in there, or subtracted them, whatever. And I also did the math in my head in the pool. So, you know, that's a little bit. So I asked Sandler for it. 5.34 runs per game over the last 35 games. That is number one in Major League Baseball. That's a month of a season. We always say in the beginning of the year, don't make any determinations. So you're 30 games out. I mean, that's beyond 30 games.
And John Morosi was on while you were out, Bobby. Mm-hmm. And he's like, Rangers are contenders. They're contenders. They're in this because of Marcus Semien's improvement. And he said, if I was going to go shopping at the deadline, I'd look at a reliever. I'd look at pitching. And I was like, when's he going to bring up offense? When's he going to talk about offense? And you agree? You agree? You feel what about it?
I don't feel good about it. It's been better. It's been better, obviously, than it had been. And it was something where it's like, it's not like every game I feel like they're going to score nothing. And that's mainly just because of one person, though. Corey Seager's crushing the baseball.
Yes.
Like, if that's why Corey Seager's such a big part of this. If Seager's hitting, you can weather one, like a rotating, this guy's hot right now.
How fun was that with him and Scuba last night? That was like Beltre, Felix, you know, the back and forth within mm-hmm. games. That was awesome as he gave the shrug. Like, I don't know what to do. I can't get him out. He threw his arms in the air after Seager finally did get out. That was fun.
Yeah, what was it? It was ESPN threw up the graphic. At one point, he was like 2-for-2, and the rest of the lineup was 0-for-15 with like 8 strikeouts. I mean, it was
like 7 strikeouts and 10 batters.
It was brutal. And Simeon, by the way, the resurgence of Simeon, like Morosi would have been talking about. If you look over the last 4 games now, Simeon's 1-for-his-last-15. And so it's cooled down a little bit. I was just looking at over the last month, like on the calendar, there are 2 players over an 800 OPS for the Rangers.
2 players.
It's Kyle Higashioka and it's Corey Seager. And so outside of that, you're still getting everybody's pretty much down below.
Higgy's got a 700. 6 game hitting streak, 9-for-24, hitting .375 in July. Jared has the slash line, .382, .389, .706, over 1,000. So Higgy, he's been doing his part.
And look, I mean, if the offense stays like this, there's no reason to sell, right? If they get to the trade deadline, so we got, you know, 9-10 days. If they get there, let's say they go through these next two series take you right up to that almost. And let's say they get to that and they're still averaging over 5 runs a game over what would now be a 40-plus game stretch, then you're probably looking at buying.
All right, Bobby, you've been the one wanting to sell the most on the show. You needed to see certain runs scored. You're getting them. Where are you at?
It's been better. It's not good enough. So to me,
number
like,
one, is it good enough?
Chop, you
2019 is behind.
Right.
Him.
We went over the last 35 days, June 8th to like June 22nd. They were mashing the baseball. And Seager's been good since June 22nd. The rest of the lineup's not hitting. Like, they, over the last month, they're not hitting. Literally, this is over the last month. Evan Carter, 708 OPS. Jake Berger, 686. Josh Smith, 674. Adolis Garcia, 648. Those are not.
Yep, they're not. They're,
that's not right, a good offense.
Right. Buster Olney says the Rangers are among the deadline's mystery teams. Says unclear whether they're dealing or acquiring. One Evaluator said, I think what they do coming out of the All-Star break is going to be really important. If they do decide to trade any talent away, they could make measured moves. He says DeGrom and Eovaldi are not in play, at least according to other teams. Adolis Garcia, on the other hand, could be.
Adolis is the one that all these different outlets keep talking about. Like, regardless of what the Rangers do, Adolis is probably getting traded. Like, he was the one. I'm trying to think whose list it was. I think it was Passan's list of the players most likely to be traded. And he was, like, the second highest odds to get dealt at the deadline.
They put it at 50% that he is traded, Adolis. Philadelphia, Seattle, San Diego, and San Fran are the best fits. I don't think they trade him to Seattle. But he has been the 20th most unlucky hitter in the big leagues this year, according to the very easily named stat, XWOBA.
There you go. Of course.
Something like that. Chris Martin, also on the trade number. He's number 38.
His last 10 games before getting hurt, a .96 ERA. Since allowing 3 runs in Tampa on June 5th. By the way, Robert Garcia's posted a .208 over 14 outings, but that sucks with Martin. It was a .96. 1 run per 9 1/3, according to Sandler.
It's Diamond Cavs here on 105.3 The Fan. Do you want...
All right, so give me 1, 2, 3 buying preference right now. If you were to buy on what?
I need 2 bats and a reliever. Not just a reliever, somebody in the ninth, because you mentioned Chris Martin and Garcia and stuff like that. I would bet the majority of those runs they gave up are ninth inning performances. Garcia, I know it was, because that's ninth inning has just been awful for them in the bullpen this year.
I would lean into run prevention, get a reliever. Absolutely go the reliever route. And then if you can find a bat, good luck. I mean, you want to get Eugenio Suarez. But like you're going to pay. You're going to pay dearly for him because he's got 35 bombs now, and you got a lot of teams looking for him. It is Diamond Cavs here at 105 to the Fan. Do you remember D. Gordon?
Marlins.
Oh,
yes.
Most emotional moment in baseball over the last decade. D. Gordon hitting that leadoff home run after Jose Fernandez died.
Yes.
And he's crying around the bases.
He was on the Raw Room pod. See if you believe this. I'm not sure I do. Saying the league put instructions on him at the end of the 2015 season.
I got suspended in 16 for steroids. Look at me, King. It look like I took steroids.
Man, ain't no way.
Okay.
Right. I'm about to say, ain't 165.
Ain't no way. He said 165.
Let me tell y'all, I ain't going to say no name or nothing, but let me just put it like this. 2015, they told my little black ass, don't win that batting championship. And I said, y'all got me fucked up.
Damn, so you went out there and said, I'm going to go get this little championship, this trophy.
And they said, don't do it.
Was it like a money thing for them?
Nah, it was a guy. I ain't going to say his name. He would have won Triple Crown if I let him win the batting title. The last day of the season, I beat him for the batting title. I went 3-for-4 with a home run.
I ain't saying.
Can't
say.
I mean, it'll be easy.
If it's what I'm thinking of,
he won MVP that year.
They didn't like that.
They called me a week before. Said,
they didn't like that.
And I was like, man, I'm from Avon Park, bro. I'm from
He said, I'm from Avon Park.
So, Bryce Harper won the MVP that year. Now, MLB in 2015 was in a different spot than it was 2025. Like, 2025, they market their players much better now. They've allowed their players to post on their own social media. They did not allow that in 2015.
Did not allow them to post their own social
Bryce
media.
Bryce Harper could not take a video of him that he took.
Okay,
and
it's highlights.
And highlights. It had to go through MLB's website. Like,
I don't believe it.
I don't know that I buy this. Like, that's a league saying don't do this.
Yeah. And first off, D. Gordon's like, don't look like I took steroids. Number one, you're done playing. Number two, it doesn't mean you're totally all jacked up, as we've learned with horse tranquilizers or the other stuff that fencers take.
Yeah.
And then the third thing, why are you protecting the name? Why are you protecting the name now? Just say who said it. You want to throw something out there. What does D. Gordon have to gain by not getting into more specifics and details?
Right. Yeah, we could figure out who you're talking about.
No, we could figure out the player. Yeah. We don't know who in the league office told him.
Right.
That we'd never be able to guess. Unveil it. You want to go this far with it? I don't believe it. I roll my eyes.
I don't think. Yeah, I'm with you on that one. I just don't think a league tells a player to do something like
it
that.
It sounds fishy. I also wouldn't put much past Major League Baseball when they were hurting to try and sustain things. But what I think could be more likely is somebody told him, hey, I heard the league office doesn't want you to do it. Like, that I could believe.
Or like, you know they want Bryce
right.
to.
Like, he heard that and somebody said that to him, and then he was like, he took that as though, oh, somebody from the league office sent this person to tell me or something along those lines. But yeah, steroids, I mean, and it doesn't just do that, but he was about as big as Dylan, the board op that thinks he can fight Alec. Like, he was 150.
And Bryce would not have won the Triple Crown. He was 31 RB. How does...
Not Corey, RSBI.
No, I like the way Corey Major says it now. RBZI. He was
RBZI.
He was 31 RBZI behind Nolan Arenado, so he would not have won it anyway.
He wouldn't have won. He wouldn't have won it, but, I mean, he may have won the batting title, too, with it, and obviously he won the MVP.
Diamond Cavs on your home for Rangers baseball with a loaded Monday edition coming at you here with Sean and RJ. It's a new music Monday. Maybe we'll get 2 weeks worth of brand new hits, from Bobby Belt. 2 weeks worth of hips from Bobby, and let's see if we need to finish up our fight with the G-Bag Nation after this.
I'm Casey Kasem. Coming up next are the three biggest hits of the year.
Oh, it is New Music Monday. We take a listen to the biggest songs being released over the weekend, and we've got one that isn't even in English this week. Not even going to be able to understand the lyrics unless you're bilingual. But this is probably the biggest artist to release anything over the weekend. It's the latest hit from Bad Bunny.
I mean, doesn't it kind of sound like Bad Bunny's other music?
It's all catchy. Morgan Wallen's hits all have the same.
Yeah,
they're catchy for a reason.
Yeah.
I would listen to this. This is what
I would too.
That's the thing, is that everybody, I feel like this era more than any other, just gets down with like the vibe or the sound of it. You could be saying nonsense and they're down with that. It's not the Bob Dylan, like, oh, I'm telling this story, or oh, I'm making this, like, you know, Elliott Smith, like these really depressing stories. They're just like, well, what's the music sound like?
No, he's telling a story. It's just in a language I don't understand.
No, but that's why people.
Yeah.
That's why
I love it.
English listeners still eat this music up, people, even though they don't understand it.
people love Bad Bunny.
Yeah.
Who do you think is more popular, Bad Bunny or Morgan Wallen?
Bad Bunny.
Bad Bunny.
Yeah.
Just internationally.
It's not even close.
Yeah, it's Bad Bunny's, I mean, he's got a case for like being, in the last couple years, probably like the biggest artist in the world.
It's
more like Taylor Swift or Bad Bunny. Like that's kind of his level.
It's Messi versus the number one athlete in America. It's not even close. So, Messi's five times more famous than LeBron is. It's crazy. It's not even close. That's what Bad Bunny is.
This one was Laura's favorite song of the weekend, Sean. This is Alex Warren, who I think won for the best one of these songs that we were talking about a couple weeks ago. This is his latest song, Eternity.
But it feels like an eternity since I had you here with me, since I had to learn to be someone.
Sounds too much like Sam Smith.
I was thinking that too.
Yeah, I can't. Yeah.
I was thinking it sounded like.
Who is this?
His name's Alex Warren. I was thinking it was giving off the vibes of, gosh, what is his name? I can't remember it, but it's giving off the vibes of the guy who was like.
James Blunt?
No, James Arthur, sort of. But this one was the, what's that? Because I'm not ready. Like, whatever that guy's name is. That's what that sounded like to me. And then the last one, she also liked this one a lot. This is Zach Bryan, who's always in hot water for his temper and for breaking up with Brianna Chicken Fry from Barstool Sports.
Oh, Zach Bryan band.
But this is Zach Bryan and Gabriella Rose, Madeline.
Hello, Madeline, how you been? I've been waiting around to die again. Well, I saw all your friends.
I like it.
Yeah.
It's good. This is his whole sound, though. It's just it's me and the guitar and the, you hear all the,
well, you don't knock Bad Bunny for it.
No. You hear all the, I'm saying it's the same thing. Just like, you hear all the guitar blucks. It's the plucks. It's the smoky, like, whiskey throat sound. Yeah. And it's good.
Listen, that whiskey throat sound, it takes a lot of work to get that.
It does.
A lot of whiskey.
Not for Zach Bryan, if you keep up with his career. He probably hits that pretty easily. But
new music Monday with Roberto, with assistance from his daughter here on Sean and RJ 105.3 The Fan.
Overall, that might be one of the better ones we've had.
Louis Capaldi, by the way. Thank you, Fantex. That was Lewis, the name of the song.
The collection or the song?
The collection of the three of them. Yeah, like that's the Bad Bunny one.
Do we have a song of the summer yet that the country has chosen? Doesn't feel like it.
No.
I don't think so. Summer's almost over.
Yeah, but
summer's over as soon as we go to camp. That's how I look at it.
Didn't Shaboozy's song last year, which was the song, so didn't that come out August, I think? Like it came out later in the year.
Yeah. I don't know. I don't know of a song of the summer yet.
Stephen Colbert's show is over.
Yes, it is.
Oh, people are trying to make some people are trying to say it's political, that the takeover of the company in Paramount is tied to Trump. Colbert goes after Trump. I think of Dave Portnoy said he was losing like $40 million a year with a 200-person staff. Can you imagine doing a show with a 200-person staff?
Almost as if it doesn't take any talent to do that show. Right? You just have a 200-person staff and write all your jokes.
Like, yeah. Like, I know he was probably joking, but Shane Gillis is like, I didn't write that joke. I don't care if you boo me. I'm like, why are you up? I guess your delivery. But Colin Cowherd, I know, always had a crap ton of people.
Yes.
I listened to Gillis, by the way, his podcast with his friend, and them talking about the ESPYs, and he said that his buddy, who's like, that's my buddy's wife, his buddy wrote that WNBA joke for him.
That was the best one.
Yeah, so he said his favorite jokes got left on the cutting room floor. Shane Gillis did.
But apparently, did he say, have you heard back from ABC or Disney over approval?
No, so this was like one leading up to it with them talking about like, they had already prepped for the show. They hadn't like performed it yet. Yeah. So he hadn't gotten blown
up. If they have people there writing your jokes for you, then I don't want to hear anybody get mad at Shane Gillis. If someone's writing your jokes,
he's still choosing to deliver them. He probably has the cutoff power.
Right, but people at the ESPYs or ESPN or Disney, they're hiring somebody to write your material.
Look, this was a humongous win for the ESPYs.
Oh,
Shane Gillis did exactly what.
Absolutely.
I mean, I think it was a dream result. The way it's all being talked about and discussed and controversy and this and that. But anyway, Colbert apparently was leading the late night ratings amongst the three. And, you know, when we have these segments during Ask Reddit, something that will be obsolete and gone, I need to start saying late night TV shows in 10 years. I can't remember the last time I watched one. Everyone has a podcast. Everyone has their own media. Everyone has their own delivery. I can't remember. It may have been Leno Letterman.
It's old people. The genre is for older people. Like, you know, younger people, they want to watch something funny, they go on YouTube.
You dislike Colbert?
Yeah, I just never thought Colbert was that funny.
Was like, funny Daily Show?
He was funny as like the role player. He was never funny like running. I thought I think John Oliver's way funnier than Colbert's. John Oliver, so you know how he was doing the minor league baseball team? They're trying to get the show to like let us name your take over the branding for your baseball team. I had seen something last week where he got the chance to do that finally, and they were like, "Aren't you a Mets fan? How'd you become a Mets fan?" And he's like, "Because if you're foreign and you come to the United States and root for the Yankees, you're a bleep hole." And he's like, "That's literally the only reason why I was around here." I think Oliver's great, and that's just knowing those standards, seeing it. John Stewart, Colbert. I never thought Stewart or Colbert were funny. Oliver, I think, is hilarious, and so
you didn't think Stewart's funny?
No, I think Stewart's biting, and I think Stewart is smart. I think of Stewart as more in line with Bill Maher than people think of.
What
as
about
like
Trevor
comedian.
Noah?
I don't find Trevor funny. I find Stewart more. I find Stewart funny. I don't watch, and I know Stewart's very political. It doesn't bother me.
That's the point of the show.
It doesn't bother me.
Noah, I've never really watched Noah's show. Noah's stand-up,
but you're
I don't
not a
like.
Total psycho who can't enjoy someone's comedy if they're not saying something you align with politically. You're not a nut job. All right. Fair. So there's Stephen Colbert. He gone. See you later. Now let's finish up with G-Bag. I heard about this Friday, heading out to the Globe. I was trying to make my way in there, but, you know, I had to go drink at Texas Live first. That was more important to me. And the G-Bag Nation apparently not taking too kindly to our ribbing, our good-natured back-and-forth insults at the afternoon show, and we'll continue with them discussing us on Friday.
Oh, trust me. Bobby also thought it was really cool because he was one of your biggest fans until he became Sean's lapdog.
Yeah. Yeah, that's well said there, Wolchuk.
Hang on.
Boy, he was not paying attention at all, was he?
Did you follow?
He had no idea what he said.
He was paying attention. I saw him on the fan game. He's like, he's sitting there listening, nodding. He's like, the thing is that Eric's been the best sport about this among the four, where he just takes his like, all right, ball busting, time for us to clap back. Like, yeah. That's what it is. He's not getting in his feels about it.
Did it bother you that Zach called you a fan?
No.
Slater tried to get under your skin like that.
Oh, yeah, because she know, like that was... Because she says it in a very condescending way of just like mom telling you. And so, yeah. No, Zach, whatever.
Yeah, that's well said there, Wolchuk.
I think we got some more. And we had an awesome...
It's a feisty lapdog, though.
Very. And super talented and AI-driven.
Skillful. And one that strikes fear.
One of the smartest smartest I've ever probably come across. Really. Yeah. But we'll bite you. We'll bite. Very... Mike rabies?
Oh, yeah. There's no way he's had his rabies shot.
So the chef that we had on earlier was awesome. And
you know,
they brought
Eric
over some delectable food. I guess we got made fun of for having the Rangers executive chef on.
Him once.
The G-Bag Nation is going to be doing their show from the Globe with the executive chef, sitting down with them as a special guest. What happened yesterday with G-Bag?
Well, first off, this
I didn't
is
get that text about this chef. We almost booked it.
I do like
what you brought us.
That was fun.
Yeah, well, Fran Fraschilla's not good enough.
Yeah.
But if you make crepes, yeah. Put them in the expressway. Yeah.
But the line cook over there, the guy who throws the little parsley on the side with the lemon wedge. That guy, yeah. We
How do
have
you
him.
Do it?
What?
How do you do
yeah,
it?
We gotta have that guy.
Coming up at 6, the bar back.
Guys at Costco picking up the 2-pack of Rayos.
You think Broadus is going to try and claim this too? It's like, we had 30,000 people show up to our remote. All right, so yesterday.
That's also funny.
Yesterday, for a second day in a row, Ross being unable to screen calls won G-Bag
of the day. Does Corey show up at your broadcast?
Yeah. I mean, that was pretty funny.
That was pretty good.
Yeah, that was good. That was good content. Yeah, that's fun.
Fun.
I definitely you know, don't want to take ourselves so seriously that we can't handle a good joke.
No, that
it's
was
just
pretty
that's the first good joke I've heard.
Cool.
Yeah, in a long time on that show. And I just can't believe that they would S on the head chef, the chief executive chef of Globe Life Field like that.
He was on the sports celebrity or the cooking celebrity show.
Yeah, he was Chopped. On Chopped, dude.
This dude's freaking legit. Are you kidding me?
Yeah, like
you're not on Chopped for no reason.
Sean is an amateur foodsman, right? He's punching up here in a huge way. Our guy, Chef Vasquez.
Now I know what this is all about. Yeah.
Still go back to the wings?
I think it just goes back to the wings pretty much.
It probably does.
If I could go back and do it, I would have thrown the wings. So we could have been in the one and we could have had harmony this last decade.
I mean, it's a shame. It really is that we're beefing like this, because now we're going to have to take this to Oxnard.
Yep.
And we usually have a great time. We're schmoozing, we're boozing, we're having laughs. And we're still going to have all of those things, but we got to be out there with them. There's going to be a little bit of tension, you know? They wanted to have a bar off, is what they went into later on in this segment. They wanted to basically have Sean and RJ get their bar, where they invite Tolos to. And then the G-Bag Nation, they even said we could have K&C with us because they feel so bad for us that we wouldn't be able to attract enough people. So they want to see where's the total support? Do they get more or do we get more?
Yeah, who's the bigger draw?
The competitive nature is just through the roof. I respect it.
I don't know if it's who's the bigger draw. I do think it is who's the bigger drunks. And there's no doubt those three guys whip our five asses every day of the week and twice on Sunday in that category.
Well, Bobby is numero uno.
That's strong.
That's good.
That was a good run from
That's
Dawson.
Good. That's very good.
Dawson was very biting.
Some good
and
content there.
Just some quick jabs in there. Here's the thing, though. What tension? We're gonna have tension in Oxnard. What? There's no tension. It's we're busting your balls and you're taking it too seriously. So if there's any tension, it's on your side of the table.
It's California. It's very kumbaya, right? Everybody's like the weather. It's 75 degrees out there. Nobody can be angry in 75 degree weather. Mm. Unless you're on the 405.
I think it was like 59 in the morning when we're going to be broadcasting.
Yeah. But hoodies. Hoodies galore.
Yeah, it's been a little humid the last couple years for some reason. But yeah, you remember, it's like when we first
get
there.
It's 59.
No, it's warmer when we first get there, and then it gets colder by like hour two, and then
daybreak.
It comes back around.
Yeah. Daybreak gets colder.
Give me the high of the week.
79.
Ooh. Not even close.
84.
Other way.
68.
Oh.
68. Oh! 68's the high for the week.
The high for the week. High five.
High five.
High five.
I don't know about
those
that.
Those rudder room sessions are going to be freezing.
Yeah. What rudder room?
What rudder room?
We're not going to be there.
We're not going to be there. It took away our weekend.
Oh, I'm going.
Yo, shut up. You're the biggest talker who doesn't deliver.
This is I got to work on every my year. Tan. I'm going to get drunk. This is going to be great. This will be Super Bowl for 5 days a week. It'll be Phoenix Super Bowl all over again.
Training camp is here. Who will be on the Cowboys 53? Bobby's prediction to open camp is next. That's next in B-Lo.
B-Belt.
On 105.3 The Fan. The great Bobby Belt.
Bobby Belt is an idiot.
Don't make me take off my belt.
Don't make me take off my belt.
We're not.
Over to you, Bobby.
Who is the surprise cut at this year's training camp? We'll talk about it here in Below the Belt,
B-Lo.
Which is brought to you by D&M Leasing. Check them out at dmautoleasing.com. Before we get into that, Micah Parsons is expected to be at training camp. Did not fly with the team. Apparently, he's going to travel separately. But the report from Jordan Schultz, he will be there. And now we will see if there's a hold-in or a hold-out or how he wants to play this one.
And Mike Florio, friend of the show, Pro Football Talk, predicts that after making this mistake, because he said he just should never have shown up to Oxnard, California, that the Cowboys will undercut him, kick the can, go to next year, and maybe franchise tag him. No way. No way. I got my insulting text to Florio saved in the draft to send once he's wrong about this.
This is it's the same hang-up we had last week. It's the same misnomer that was going on last week where people were talking about, like, well, TJ Watt just drove up the price more. No, he didn't. Like we know where he's going to get paid. This has kind of been generally where everybody's. That's why Steven has said consistently. He said it in multiple different spots. It's nothing we can't get our hands around. We have a general idea where he is. We know where, like, this is all about details. It's all about structure of the deal, different things like that. This is not anything where he's going to get just shorted by $10 million a season if he doesn't show up or if he shows up. And if he doesn't show up, all of a sudden he's going to be $7 million above Miles Garrett.
The Cowboys are going to cave unless Micah Parsons caves and revolts and rebels against his agent. The Cowboys are going to have to cave because they're not going to have him miss games to start the regular season, I don't think.
Micah has shown up. I'll give Florio the Howard Eskin bet from years ago. of like, all right, when we're at Super Bowl, if now Micah shows up, he signs for $5 million less for Myles Garrett. When he walks over to our side, I'll kiss his butt on the air. That's what I'll do.
Be careful how you.
I know. I didn't.
Careful how you reference Howard and kissing.
Oh, yeah.
Some of those kisses are not wanted.
Yeah, that was the only. You were the only one he didn't actually kiss. He like did it with his hand or whatever.
Yeah.
So
yeah, yeah. He wouldn't. He wouldn't kiss my butt.
You weren't a hot dog vendor.
I know. No.
Prediction. This is done before.
You don't think Florio's prediction has any chance of happening, right? That this is not settled this year?
I would think not. Mike doesn't, I don't think, just throw things out there like this. So the fact that he is saying, like, he's smart. The fact that he's saying it does give me a little bit of pause. But I don't think that they take it all the way and let him get on and tag him. I mean, gosh. That would really create some bad vibes.
I will say that I think that this gets done before they get back to Frisco. Like before they finish training camp out here. I think it's done in California.
Didn't CDs wait till they got back?
Yeah.
But Zach's didn't.
They got done.
Does he practice over or under 50% of camp?
I think it's, he goes through like workouts, but he doesn't do team stuff is what I would guess. That's just a guess.
Okay.
But I would assume he's going to approach it the same way he did some of the stuff he did during minicamp, where it's, he's not getting in there for padded stuff, but like if they're doing pass rush drills, he's in there and he's going to be standing off to the side and listening and doing different things like that. So I think it gets done. I think it gets done generally around where we kind of all expect that it will get done. All right.
And were you making a point last night, if am I remembering correctly, about him practicing or training camp practices? Were you saying something about Parsons and that?
Well, I mean, the only thing I had on Micah last night was that he will report, obviously, but don't be on the team plane, but all that stuff. But like him out there practicing, to me,
that's what it was. You're saying it's not an issue.
Well, it's not an issue for me. Like, I don't care. Like, it doesn't matter to me whether he practices or not. I'm talking about for him.
Okay, well, no one cares if it's an issue for you.
No, it shouldn't be an issue for the fans either.
Why?
What the hell do we care?
You want the Cowboys to be good.
I mean, we cared that
Zach Martin and CeeDee Lamb, we've chronicled this, both admitted it hurt them.
Well, that's fine. They can have that opinion.
Okay.
It didn't. Zach Martin was old. That's why it hurt him. CeeDee still had a really good year.
I know, but they're both saying as players it affected them.
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure. And look, CeeDee, I could see it affecting because there is first of all, Dak got hurt. You know, and how much of that is not placebo effect, but you know, you think it affects you when it really doesn't.
You're not putting any weight to their firsthand account.
No,
I don't care what they psychosomatic symptoms.
Yes, I don't care what they have to say. I mean, it's like we've heard linebackers tell us.
You don't think it matters with a new defense?
That would matter more. Yes, but we've heard linebackers say, yeah, the play action. You need to run the ball to have play action. We have stats to say you don't need to run the ball to have play action. Like I don't care what the player says. You know, we're smart enough.
But the physical delay or issues of them getting going or tweaking something else, the conditioning of it.
I think that, you know, for it matters, may matter with position to position, it might matter more.
Okay.
I don't think it would matter all that much. I mean, he doesn't play. Like I think he's going to have basically the same kind of years he always does.
Okay, interesting. I think that, especially given Eberflus being here and putting in something new, you don't want to be behind.
Well, I'm not. Yeah, he won't be in the classroom then, right? Like, is he going to be in his hotel room?
I would imagine that he's going to take part in meetings and different things like that. Again, it's all, if he's showing up, I imagine he's in meetings. I imagine he is probably doing drills. How much he's involved in team stuff, I don't know, but I would imagine he'll participate to some extent. All right, 53-man roster as we open training camp, but this can obviously change the closer we get to it. But going to run through some of these really quickly, how I see the roster stacking up. Quarterbacks, I think they are going to carry three. I think it'll be Dak, Milton, and Greer. That's kind of the question right now at the quarterback position, is the idea of, do they do two? Can they slide Greer to the practice squad? Do they want to slide Greer to the practice squad?
Greer's going to be the two.
And that's the thing. Greer might be the two
to open,
and
I think
they're not getting Milton to the practice squad. So unless Milton gets to a point where they feel like he's better than Greer, I think they're carrying three. Running backs, I think this
Such
is the
disrespect
end. To who?
For Joe Milton.
He's got all the talent in the world. Like I said, when we get out there, that'll be what you guys will... That'll be the wow thing we're talking about the next morning. It'll be like, Joe Milton did this yesterday.
My first interview request.
And then we'll also be talking about how, you know, he knocked somebody unconscious in the Jerry Tower because he threw the ball up there. Like, it'll be back-to-back.
Do you not want Cam Newton?
It'll be back-to-back plays,
Josh Allen playing quarterback for you?
So that's what you got. Running backs. This is the end of the line, I think, for Deuce Vaughn. And I don't think Phil Moffa, their draft pick, makes it out of camp either. I've got Jaden Blue, who apparently is lazy if you listen to hot take artists. Like Stretch, what's his name? Stretch Armstrong or whatever his name is. Who, like, I think he coached about as much in the NFL as Stretch Armstrong. Miles Sanders, Javonte Williams, Hunter Lipke. My hot take would be if Javonte Williams didn't have as much money committed to him, he would be a cut candidate. But there's money involved there. Receivers, I think they carry six. George Pickens, CeeDee Lamb, Kevontae Turpin, Jalen Tolbert, Jonathan Mingo, and Jalen Brooks. Brooks would be the one that could be on the chopping block there. I'm going to say they run light at tight end and just go three. And that's Jake Ferguson, Luke Schoonmaker, and then Brevin Spanford. Schoonmaker, depending on how this training camp goes, could be one of these surprise cut candidates if they get like a really good performance out of a tight end they weren't expecting. Offensive line, they go nine. So Guyton, Tyler Smith, Cooper Beebe, Tyler Booker, Terrence Steele. That's your starting five. We've got Brock Hoffman, Robert Jones, their draft pick of Johnny Cornelius, and then Awesome Richards. No Hakeem Adeniji, no TJ Bass. Because I just think numbers say they need stuff elsewhere. Defensive side of the ball. Bland, Diggs, Kyer Elam, Kalen Carson, Israel Mukwamu at corner. So no Andrew Booth, Savone Ravel not ready for the season at the start. Diggs could go either way.
No Booth, even with Diggs question mark.
If Diggs doesn't make it, Booth.
I'm not complaining. I'm just asking.
Yeah, if Diggs isn't ready, Booth is on, is how I have it. Safeties, Donovan Wilson, Malik Hooker, Wanye Thomas, and then Marquise Bell. Donovan Wilson, I think he's on. He could be the surprise, like, under-the-radar bubble guy just because Eberflus, what he prefers in safeties, and he wants some ability to do everything, and that's not really Donovan Wilson's game. Linebackers, you are not going to have DeMarvian Overshown ready for the season, so this will be Damone Clark, Shamar Turner, their draft pick, Buddy Johnson, Kenneth Murray, the veteran, Maris Leofau, and then Jack Sanborn, who is their core middle linebacker type player. And then defensive line, I think they're going to carry 10 of them. Mozzie Smith, Solomon Thomas, Jay Toyia, the rookie defensive tackle out of UCLA, Oso Odighizuwa, and then I think it's six edge rushers. Sam Williams, Micah Parsons, Dante Fowler, Peyton Turner, Marshawn Neyland, and now the recently signed Donovan Ezeraku, which got done. But the big cuts here would be you're looking at the fact that you have no Deuce Vaughn. It would be no TJ Bass, one of their free agent guys, Hakeem Adeniji. And then, like I said, you could be looking at somebody along the lines of Donovan Wilson or Luke Schoonmaker, who could be a bubble guy if things don't work out. And then obviously you have your three specialist spots, your long snapper, your kicker, and your punter.
Should we clear up this Trayvon Diggs thing that we were getting texts about over the weekend? That this isn't a fine or he's not losing money? We should clear that up.
Yeah, so apparently this isn't him being fined $500,000. It's really just an issue of language. It just...
We're not rehabbing in Frisco.
Yeah, there's a contract. It's basically like a bonus that's tied to certain language. So it's like he didn't meet the language of the contract, so he doesn't get the bonus.
He didn't lose the money. He just didn't get the money.
Right. So, I mean, it's kind of, like I said, it's a little bit of a semantics thing because you could say that, well, I mean, Nate Evaldi was given his bonus that he didn't earn. That still would have kind of felt like you were taking it away. So it is one of those things. But yeah, I mean, ultimately, this is not a penalty. It is you didn't earn a reward that was built into your contract.
Which to me is a difference.
Yeah,
if they chose to fine him and take it, I think that caused bigger issues than, all right, we're not giving you didn't earn the bonus.
Right, but if it was, if the contract language was, if you don't reach this point, then it automatically reduces. Then, I mean, it's still the same thing. It's a contract language thing that if you do or don't meet it, depends on if you get the money. It's just how it's framed.
The Rangers just give it anyway.
Yeah, we just said that.
No, well, you got to do something.
Right.
You know, except for challenge reporters in hallways. B-Lo.
The belt.
Right here on Your Home of the Cowboys with Roberto. We'll be in Oxnard starting next Sunday. The KNC Mashup is going to kick off the coverage with the press conference today at 1 p.m. from California. Has DFW produced the greatest thing since Tiger? Next.